It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And when we get the recaps on the show, you can just click on the picture, and that will actually bring the recap up, and the podcast of the show is embedded there. So you can go back and listen to some of our past broadcast. Then you can also copy that link and you can send that to friends and family if you want to have them take a listen to that as well. So be sure and check that out at kimmunson.com. I thank each and every one of you for listening. You each are treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time, and there's a lot to do out there. Thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting for all of your great work. Producer Steve, it is Friday, it is Labor Day weekend, and I know you're looking forward to it.
You know, I keep harping on this, but when you're astonished by something, you can't stop trying to figure it out. And I just can't figure out how the week goes by so quickly.
Yes. And there's some days when I come in here and it's like, it seems like it was just an hour ago when it actually was 24 hours ago. It's kind of hard to believe for sure.
I'm with you there.
So I love September is probably my favorite month of the year. And you can actually start to feel it, Steve. Can you just feel that autumn is right around the corner here?
Yeah, I call them the burr months, September, October, November, December, and it is my best time of the year as well. And I vividly remember my first year here, I was still in the military down in Colorado Springs. That particular fall was the most incredible Indian summer I had ever seen. And I remember sitting out on the steps of the dormitory thinking, what kind of place is this? Now, it needs to be set. It went well into the week of Thanksgiving. But then it needs to be said that Tuesday before Thanksgiving, we got clobbered with a big snowstorm.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it September 1st, first part of September. Remember that, I can't remember what year it was, but where we had that huge snowstorm in October. It's like, that's only 4 or 5 weeks from now.
Exactly. Actually, I wonder if that's happened a time or two, because the one year was so destructive on the trees, which are still having, you know, had their leaves on.
I know it. I know it.
We sawed up a lot of tree limbs, that one.
Yeah, it's nature's pruning is what it is, Steve.
Actually, yes, yes. Go ahead.
Hey, September, I love it. Because it's Constitution Week up in Grand Lake, Colorado, and they are going to be celebrating their 10th annual anniversary, and that is going to be September through the 19th. The 19th is Sunday morning, and they're going to have a church service in the park this year, which I'm excited about. Their main event is on Saturday. I will be up there for that for sure. I have the great honor to emcee that, but it's such a taste of Americana. They have a parade, a small town parade, and the event in the park. They have speakers all week. Go to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com, and everything is listed there as well. If you're looking for accommodations, I'd say get them soon. Grand Lake will probably sell out. Then you can check something out in either Granby or Fraser as well. But very excited about that. That website is GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. That's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. It's known as the home of the premier Constitution Week celebration in all of America, Steve.
Well, I have no doubt. And, you know, every time you promote this, I'm thinking, what are we doing that weekend? Could we sneak away? Because I'd really like to see some of these things.
You really should. And since it's the 10th anniversary, this would be a good year to do that. So be sure and check that out. Also wanted to mention America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. That is on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM on Sundays at 3 and 10 p.m. Very good interview with Larry Cheatham. He was in the Navy, a Navy veteran and a Vietnam veteran, and fascinating stories, so would highly recommend that as well.
I like Larry because he exemplifies the, there's probably a right word for it, I can't think of it off the top of my head, the sarcastic based humor that guys in the military, guys and women, when they experience something that's really not that swift, but yet they come away with a very humorous, you know, explanation of what it was they did. Now, he was an LST?
Yeah, he was on LST.
All right, now
LST.
We learned LST stands for?
A landing ship tank or long, slow target.
Well, that's okay. That's exactly where I was going, with the fact that they call it a long, slow target.
That's I'm not sure that's the boat that I want to be on, but it's a great interview, so be sure and check that out on Sunday. And both shows are sponsored by one of my sponsors is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have happy hour specials Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. for dine-in only. And they have these following appetizers are half off. They're beer cheese pretzels, there are 10 boneless wings, lots of tots, or 12 buffalo shrimp, and they also have happy hour specials as well. So go to my website, Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com, and check that out. All those sponsors, that I highly recommend them. I know all of them personally. And check on the or click on the Hooters tab, and all their specials will come up. So be sure and check that out as well.
You know, I doubt there's a Hooters in Grand Lake, but if there were, I know you would have one of those events catered.
That's true that, true that. We've got such a great show planned for you today. In segments 2, 3, and 4, we'll be talking with Dr. Douglas Groteis. He is the professor of philosophy at the Denver Seminary, and he's written an excellent op-ed, Give Prophets a Chance, and you will not want to miss that. And we do look at these issues through that lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And Steve, I wanted to go to a quote for the day from Ronald Reagan, and he was an American politician, the 40th president of the United States, a highly influential voice of modern conservatism. He was a Hollywood movie actor, a union leader, and he was born in 1911, died in 2004, and this is what he said, and I thought this was great as we're going into Labor Day weekend. He said, live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly, and leave the rest to God. Is that not beautiful, Steve?
He was my man. My first election that I could participate in was 76, and obviously Jimmy Carter won, and I carried a grudge for 4 years. So when Reagan came along, he was my man.
Oh, most definitely, and the great communicator. Before we go to break, on the line with me is one of my valued sponsors, partners, and that is Hal Van Herkey. He and his wife, Linnea, are true entrepreneurs. They own Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Hal Van Herkey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's always a pleasure to be on.
And a lot has happened since the last time we talked, last Friday morning. What's your thoughts on current events?
That's what was going through my mind when you were introducing me, is that just how much has changed. Current events, I think it's been a very difficult week for me, and I know it has been for people, you know, nothing compared to people who are going through what's going on in Afghanistan directly, and they're being impacted by it, and all of the veterans and volunteers and humanitarians that served in Afghanistan for, you know, 20 years to try to, with the idea that we were going to somehow make that a better place in the long run. So it's not a good week for freedom, not a good week for being a humanitarian and for caring about people and individual freedoms and individual rights.
I'm with you on this, Hal, and it's just unbelievable the incompetence in the planning on the exiting of Afghanistan, and the fact that we have Americans still there is just beyond belief to me, Hal.
Yeah, I just saw a quote from an interview from, I think, that gets to the very root of it, where Joe Biden said that there was not a scenario in his mind that this was, that he felt like this was unavoidable, that no matter what he did, this was going to happen. So he never even really gave it a thought about being successful on this withdrawal. And so they just ignored it. They didn't plan for it. They didn't do anything. They assumed they were going to be, that we were going to go through this no matter what. And I don't even know what to begin to do with that. So it's just, that sounds like one of the most honest things I've heard come out of a politician's mouth in a long time. That, so anyway, yeah.
Unbelievable. But hey, let's move over to your business, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool. The website is castlegate.com. You've got a shipment of Medford knives coming in. This is very exciting.
Yeah, we do. If you're a knife fan, you know that Medford Knife and Tool is a big deal in the knife community. They make handmade custom knives in Phoenix, Arizona, and their staff is almost entirely staffed by with veterans from either Afghanistan or from Iraq and from the global war on terror. And we do have a big custom shipment coming from them. They just posted up a video on their YouTube page showing all the knives we're getting, and those will show up in our store sometime early next week. So we're really looking forward to that. And if anybody sees one that they want, just call us in advance, even before we get it. We put your name on it, and we'll sell it to you as soon as we get it in the store.
And does that discount apply for veterans and first responders and our military personnel on these knives as well?
Yes, on every, just like everything else we sell, it applies. It's a 10% discount for our group of warriors, that whether they're first responders, current military, prior military, 10% on anything we sell, including these guys.
Hal Van Herke, you and Linnea are the best. Thank you so much for being a partner of the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories.
Thank you, Kim.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who support us. As you know, I am an entrepreneur. I purchase my airtime for both of my shows, and glad to work with everyone here at Crawford Broadcasting. However, this allows me to be totally free in guests and subject selection, and so really appreciate your support on that as well. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Dr. Douglas Grutice. He is a member of the Evangelical Theological Society, the Evangelical Philosophical Society, and Society of Christian Philosophers. And he received his PhD and BS from the NBS in the University of Oregon, and his master's in philosophy from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And he currently teaches at, at the Denver Seminary. He's the professor of philosophy there, and he is teaching a class at Colorado Christian University, C.S. Lewis for Christian Faith. That's got to be absolutely fascinating. Dr. Grutice, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
We are coming into Labor Day, and it's a very interesting subject. I've thought about Labor Day over the years, and labor, working, the dignity of work, I think is very important. Back many, many years ago, there was a place for unions, and I'm concerned now that unions have made labor more and more expensive, which makes it more difficult for businesses to hire people. And what's your thoughts on that before we get into the subject of the day that I wanted to talk about, and that was your op-ed on about profits?
Well, I think that's right. I'm not really an expert on labor unions today. My father was instrumental at the origin of Labor's Local 341 in Anchorage, Alaska. In fact, the Union Hall there is named after him. And I know that my dad's goal was to get people to work fairly. And I think unions have gained a tremendous amount of power, and it could be they're not, in some cases, they're not serving their original purpose, as you said. And that concerns me. But I've done a lot more work just in the principles and philosophy of the free market than I have with labor. Labor unions can be private or public, and I'm a big supporter of the private sector for the productive aspects of society. I'm a conservative, so I worry when a lot of things become collectivized and the state is in control of things. But labor is one of the reasons we were put here by God. God put our first parents in the garden to serve him and to develop the creation. So some people wrongly think that work is a result of the fall. It's a result of human beings turning against God, and then God said, well, therefore you'll have to work. But the issue is that work becomes harder after the fall. It's not that work is intrinsically bad. I mean, God is a worker. He created the heavens and the earth, and they were good. He created human beings. They were very good. So God is all-powerful. He doesn't expend energy and get exhausted the way we do at work, but he's called us to be workers for his glory and the benefit of other people.
I find it interesting regarding God created, God was working, but there is a commandment that one day is to be set aside for rest. And of course, I'm not sure that in American society that we totally honor that, but I think that there is something healthy in that, and God knew that with that particular commandment.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. Even God rested after he created, and so that day is set aside for rest and also for worship, although every day should be a day of worship. But it shows that we are limited beings. We're creatures, and labor is difficult. It's by the sweat of our brow, either literally or figuratively. I don't do a lot of manual labor, but I do a lot of thinking labor and sit at my computer all day writing, so I don't really break a sweat. But it can be laborious, you know, not to have a pun there. But I do that too. I write all the time. I write my lectures and my articles and books and teach and so on. And then on Sunday, which I really think is the Christian Sabbath, I don't work on banging out another chapter of a book or another article. And we need that. We need to let God be God, for one thing. He doesn't need us running around working, sweating all the time. We can rest and enjoy relaxation and be rejuvenated. And I don't know a lot about this, but I know that in the history of labor in the United States, the idea of Sabbath was really the working man's friend, because it meant that you couldn't be put to work 24/7. There was a day of rest, and we were not made to work all the time. We were made to work and be productive and be honest in our labors, and to enjoy producing good things, but not constant work, because that leads to burnout. It's really a denial of our finitude. You really have to own your finitude, that no one can do everything. There's one Messiah, and we're not him. So biblically, there's this tremendous balance laid out in the very nature of creation of work and rest, and we don't want to rest too much, and we don't want to work too much.
So let's talk a little bit about the dignity of work. And I think it was Lincoln that said, one of I wouldn't say politicians, but I think it was Lincoln that said that we should not do for men what they can do for themselves. And I've always thought that is important. This dignity of work shows that there is this intrinsic value of people. Now, granted, we do have, there's always a small percentage of the vulnerable, that that needs help. And we as a society in America have typically stepped up to the plate there. But to take away the dignity of work takes away, I think, the dignity of some of the value of a person.
Oh, it does, definitely. And that's why it's so sad that some people will make it a habit, even a lifestyle, of living off the federal government or off the state government when they don't have to. And we should have a safety net for those who cannot provide for themselves. They're physically handicapped, mentally handicapped, or through no fault of their own, they can't find gainful employment. But the basic principle was given to us long ago by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3. He says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. So that's the negative way to put it. If you can work and you're unwilling to work, then you need to be held accountable to that. But on the positive side, the constructive side of it, a good day's work is satisfying. It shows you are contributing something to your neighbor's life, and you are contributing something to yourself. If you're gainfully employed, you're providing for your family, maybe you're saving for the future. And, you know, the answer to life is not escaping work. And I sometimes wonder about our whole mentality and our culture of retirement. And I don't find that in sacred scripture at all. Now, I find a lot of wisdom about how to comport yourself as you get older, certainly. And you can't do everything you once did, although you can do new things, new opportunities as you get older, like grandparenting and maybe mentoring younger people that you wouldn't have done 20 or 30 years ago. But I think life circumstances change. I'm 64, and people rudely say, well, how long are you going to keep working? Is that about retiring? And I say, well, I like to teach as long as I can, as long as I can still do it well. But even when I don't teach full time, I certainly still want to teach and write and mentor people. I don't really want to retire. I love what one of my favorite jazz performers, Duke Ellington, the great composer and band leader and pianist, said. He was asked as he got older, Duke, you've done so much in jazz, when are you going to retire? And he said, retire to what? The only thing I like to do is music. So I don't want to go out and golf or take cruises all the time or something like that. So we can labor and enjoy our labors throughout our life unless we're simply incapacitated. But a biblical view is not to work only to make a living, work only because we're fallen and we have to work, otherwise we would just be lounging around. It's not a healthy view of life to think that way.
Well, and there's something inherent in the American idea. When we look at these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that pursuit of happiness, within that there is all this creativity and innovation and entrepreneurship, which is something that I think is a uniquely an American idea. Not that we don't have that throughout the world, but that it's something that within our founding, I think, embodied that. And I think that is why America was founded on this idea. We're under a lot of stress right now. The American idea is under a lot of stress. But the difference between us and all other quote-unquote empires is we were founded on this idea, Dr. Grotius.
Well, I think so. It's right there in the Declaration of Independence. And, of course, America did not live up to that in many ways, especially with slavery and some of the treatment of the American Indians. But it's in our DNA that God has granted us rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are given to us by God. They're not created by the state. They're not brought into being by our own initiative. The state should recognize the status of human beings as having dignity, that all men are created equal in the sense we're all created by God, and therefore we have intrinsic value. And Americans are known for industry and ingenuity, innovation, entrepreneurial spirit, the kind of can-do attitude, the optimism. And you don't find that necessarily in some other countries. You certainly don't find it in socialist countries where the state controls everything, so people really don't have a sense of agency. And I worry about policies in the United States that take away a sense of agency and responsibility. I've been reading Shelby Steele lately, who's just a tremendous social critic. He's an African-American historian, works at the Hoover Institution. And he's very worried that when you divide the country into the white oppressors and the black oppressed, he's not denying that that happens, but you make African-Americans contingent on white reparations or white interventions, or the state has to do all the work because white people have been oppressors. Now, that certainly has happened. We have to recognize that. But in our situation now, there's quite a bit of opportunity for anybody, red and yellow, black and white, in our society. And Steele is worried that if the idea is we've been oppressed, we need the state to rearrange things, we need equity, the idea of equity actually, ironically, takes away agency, because it says we'll put you in this position because we have to fill a quota, as opposed to let's level the playing field and let's try to give everybody an equal opportunity and then see how you achieve. No, you achieve on your merits. We don't want you to be disadvantaged because you're a person of color or for any other reason, but we're not going to automatically put you in a position to fulfill some artificial standard of equity, because you really need to actualize your own agency in education and various forms of social achievement. And I think that lives up to the American ideal, but the idea of the state controlling outcomes in education, in business, and all the rest of it is a dangerous one for so many reasons, because bureaucracies don't do well in these kinds of things. We need the state for policing, for military, for enforcing contracts, for basic justice, for police. I didn't say that, but it worries me when people want the state to somehow right every wrong, and in so doing, it actually often doesn't right the wrong. In some cases, it does, and it may produce more wrongs.
Most definitely, and we're seeing a lot of wrongs going on right now in our society with the taking away of everyday people's individual freedoms. We're going to go to break. I'm talking with Dr. Douglas Grotius, and he is the professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary. He's an author of many different books. Before we go to break, though, so excited about U.S. Constitution Week up here in Grand Lake, Colorado. It is the home of the premier Constitution Week celebration in all of America. It's September 13th through the 19th, and on the 18th is their main event. They're going to have a flyover. There's going to be a parade, a main event in the park. I get to MC this. So excited about that. This is their 10th anniversary. Go to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com for more information. That's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. We will be right back with Dr. Douglas Grotius.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I greatly appreciate that. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Dr. Douglas Grotheis. And he is an author. He is a teacher, a professor. He is teaching a class at Colorado Christian University, C.S. Lewis for Christian Faith, which has to be absolutely fascinating. And he is the professor of philosophy at the Denver Seminary. Dr. Grotheis, these conversations are so rich. I really appreciate it. In the last segment, we were talking about the American idea, the American spirit, this industriousness, agency you mentioned. And when we are having these conversations in America these days about reparations and things that were back in our history, where there seems to be this movement to have people that never owned slaves pay money to people that never were slaves, that seems like that's a little backwards to me. We can certainly look back in history and acknowledge that there were things that were not done correctly. I do always like to make this point, though, Dr. Grotheis, and that is those that like to make it sound like America was the place of slaveholders and slave owners. Slavery was prevalent throughout the world at that time. It was actually very unique that these 13 little colonies, when they decided to make this country and base it on this idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, slavery doesn't match up with that. And they really tussled with that. And within, 70 plus years, we went to war to answer that question on whether or not one man can own another. And we said, no, they can't. So I think it's important to understand that it was unique. These 13 little colonies actually put their money where their mouth is, if you will, on this question.
Right. And there's so much that is unique and amazing about what some people have called the American experiment. You could talk about an experiment in ordered liberty. Because America is a deliberative nation. You have a group of thinkers getting together and deciding what this nation should be. And it starts with a declaration to the world of what we want to be and why we want to be, why we need to be separate from the British Empire and not be a colony. And so the founding principles are laid out. And some people say, well, it's all a sham because slavery still existed. And Thomas Jefferson had slaves, and he wrote that. Well, this is the problem with the all-or-nothing mentality. It's just utopian. So we junk the entire idea of America and the Declaration and the Constitution and the First Amendment because people were inconsistent. Well, this is the way things work in a world east of Eden under the sun, to use language from Ecclesiastes, in a fallen world. So one thing that is profound about America and to some extent in the West in general is that the great American historian Arthur Schlesinger, who's actually fairly liberal, wrote a book 30 years ago called The Disuniting of America, and he said part of the genius of the Western world in America is that it's self-reforming. So if you have solid original principles, then the nation can reform on the basis of those principles. And that's generally what we see in the history of the United States, if we're talking about law or general culture, in terms of treating more people more equally, of trying to lay down a fair and just society. But it didn't happen all at once, and as you rightly said, the norm in world history is slavery. It was really in the West, and through mostly Christian influence, that slavery was challenged and eventually overturned. So often people take the way things are today and they project back and they say, well, these people were horrible bigots and look at what went on. The entire American ideal is incorrigibly flawed. So we have to start again, make it year zero, so to speak, of the French Revolution. And I am profoundly concerned about that because we have such riches of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have a genius of the First Amendment, the five freedoms of the First Amendment. We will not have an established religion, a Church of the United States of America, but we will allow for the free exercise of religion. So religions have to compete with one another. They don't receive state funding, and they should not receive state the subject of being prohibited by the state either. And we have the freedom of speech and press and assembly and petition the government for the redress of wrongs. And all of this is really magnificent, and we should try to live up to these founding ideals, not tear them down. And when I see rioters burning American flags, they're saying the whole idea is utterly corrupt, unredeemable, and we want to start it all over again according to some impossible utopian vision that doesn't take seriously the genius of our founding. It doesn't take seriously that human beings are not angels. We're very mixed. We're a combination of good and evil. And part of the genius of the American system is that our civil government is set up recognizing that. That's why we have a division of powers, so one branch of government doesn't totally dominate the society. That's why we have the electoral system. And a lot of people want to tear that down, too, in the name of direct democracy, which is not what America was founded on. So I'm going on and on here.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. And direct democracy is basically what they say, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner, right?
Exactly.
And so that is why we are not a democracy. We are a democratic constitutional republic. And it is important that people do understand that. A couple of things. Question on freedom of religion. And you're teaching this class at Colorado Christian University. And I was at a luncheon one time when Justice Scalia had presented. And I've been thinking a lot about this because the First Amendment says that Congress shall establish no religion. And then I thought about it that religion is a set of beliefs. And so I extrapolated that Congress should not be in the business of pushing forward this set of beliefs, and that's why freedom of religion was very important. And I would say that I think that environmentalism, climate change, has become a belief, a religion, and now we are using public policy and public dollars to push forward that particular religion. Now, is that a stretch, or am I making any sense on that?
No, I think you are. I think when the founders were talking about freedom of religion, they were considering organized religion. They're thinking of Baptists and Presbyterians and others who were formally religious. But you can also take up a cause in, you might say, a religious way, using the term perhaps negatively, like, this is our one purpose in life. We have utter faith in it. We will not consider opposition to it. And you have to follow it. And I think right religion, Christianity, is reasonable and open to debate and so on. But you could say some people have made worries about climate change a kind of religious zealotry. And there's no opportunity for dissent. And if you dissent from it, you're like somebody who denies the Holocaust and so on. And that's not a good way to proceed in terms of these controversial issues about public policy concerning the environment. Let's debate them. Let's think about the costs and the benefits. And I know people like Dennis Prager and others have said that this has become kind of a de facto or ersatz religion that gives them meaning. As opposed to true religion, which should be the worship of the one true God and serving him and loving our neighbor and coming to Christ for the forgiveness of sins and for moral strength. But, you know, beware of false religion. Beware of people pursuing ideas with total zeal and total commitment when they're not willing to discuss them and they're not willing to let people disagree with them. And that's really more a recipe for tyranny.
Well, Dr. Grotius, and certainly religion, Christian religion, has, because humans are involved, many times you can have people use religion to push forward their ideas. And somebody said to me, and I hadn't really thought about this, that Christ, the belief in Christ, is actually totally about freedom, because Christ gives every individual the freedom, the liberty to decide what their relationship is going to be with him. He doesn't come in with force or anything like that. The true Christianity, the true gospel, is Christ lets people choose whether or not they accept him as their savior or not. Your thoughts, your comments on that?
Well, definitely Christianity from the beginning has been based on persuasion, not coercion. And I think of that account where Jesus meets and has a conversation with a very wealthy young man. And the young man, he's often called the rich young ruler, wants to follow Christ. And Jesus says, well, to follow me, you have to sell everything that you have and give to the poor. And the man went away sad because he had a lot of possessions. So he was not willing to give his all to Christ. And what's interesting there is that Jesus didn't chase him down and said, no, look, I told you, you have to sell all your possessions and give to the poor. Or he didn't say, well, wait a minute, let me bargain with you. Just sell half your possessions. Mm-hmm. You know, Christ is Lord, so we come to him on his terms, but he doesn't coerce us. He invites us. Like famously, he said, come to me, all you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So that's an invitation. That's a welcome. And then he makes promises, like, if you are truly my disciples... This is in John 8. If you're truly my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But he doesn't manipulate people. He doesn't use propaganda. He doesn't use the power of the state to make someone confess him. So he makes the offer, and we are in a position, we are responsible to repent and believe and follow or not. And we don't use the state to enforce the Christian religion. The state should be there to protect religious liberty and not to discriminate unfairly against any religion. Now, if a religion advocates breaking the law or somehow threatens the public good, that's another thing. But the American setup is really the culmination of a development of the idea of liberty of conscience and freedom of speech and freedom of religion that I suppose you could trace back to the Magna Carta and even before that. But it's all laid out there. It's laid out in the Declaration and especially in the First Amendment. And this gives us a setup. It gives us a tradition and a structure by which we have ordered liberty. And this needs to be preserved because it's really under attack now in multiple ways. And it concerns me greatly. I'm doing some writing about this now.
And our God is a God of order. And I think inherently we as humans search for order. And what we're seeing is a lot of chaos and confusion in our society right now. But let's go to break. I'm talking with Dr. Douglas Grotius. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about his recent op-ed. And it is Give Prophets a Chance. And that's Prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, a chance. And we'll be talking with him about that. Before we do that, though, invite you up to Grand Lake for the U.S. Constitution Week, September 13th through the 19th. On the 19th, on Sunday, they're going to have a church service in the park, which I'm excited about. The main event is on Saturday. And they have a beautiful fireworks display over the lake on Saturday evening. So go to my website. We have all the information there. And be sure and join us. It's going to be a great event. This is their 10th anniversary. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Dr. Douglas Grotius.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our guests, and as well as our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you for all of you that support us. I am so excited to have on the line with me Dr. Douglas Groteis. He is the professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary, and he is teaching a class at Colorado Christian University on C.S. Lewis for Christian faith. And actually, I have not read all of C.S. Lewis's books, Dr. Groteis. I read Narnia, the Chronicles of Narnia, to my children. And I've read the Screwtape Letters several times because I sometimes have kind of trouble understanding C.S. Lewis. I have to read him several times, Dr. Groteis.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a deep thinker. And he said, I haven't read all of his books. I don't think there are a lot of people who have read all of his books because he wrote about 40 of them. And some of them are more academic works on literature. But everyone should read Mere Christianity, certainly, and Screwtape Letters. They're very profound. Mere Christianity is a basic apologetic or a basic case for Christianity, and then Screwtape Letters is a very clever way of thinking about how Satan tries to tempt us and how to deceive us. So it's written from the perspective of a senior demon writing a junior demon on how to tempt a new convert. It's a very clever way of teaching spiritual truth.
Yeah, it is. It's very fascinating. Would highly recommend that. And I want to move over to a recent op-ed that you published, Give Prophets a Chance, and want to make the clarification because you are a Christian apologist that you're not P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, but in fact it's prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, mm-hmm. Give Prophets a Chance. Tell us, why did you write this piece?
Yes, well, I'm an advocate of the free market. I think it generates more good for societies overall than any other alternative, certainly better than any kind of socialism. And I was driving down Santa Fe, and I saw on an RTD card this statement, caring for people, not profits. And I thought, goodness, that's messed up. So I went home and wrote an editorial about it. And see, it's set up like a dichotomy. It's set up like if you care about profits, then you really don't care about people.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's better to care for people. So there's a whole economic philosophy behind this, which is if we put a service in the hands of the state where they don't have to make a profit, really, they're supported mostly by tax dollars, they're insured to continue to exist through tax dollars, then you'll not be selfish, you'll not be greedy. And I thought, that just doesn't make a lot of sense because profit is not a dirty word. Now, certainly people can be selfish, they can be greedy, they can put profit above people, but there's no reason that anyone has to do that. So I really wrote that to reflect a little bit on how profits work in a free enterprise system.
What I've found, Dr. Groteis, now I served on city council in Lone Tree from 2012 to 2016, and there's many fine people in government. I don't want to negate that. But the big government, the bureaucracies, people that are working in those, there doesn't have to be quote-unquote results, because whether or not you're successful or not, and many people are making very healthy salaries with pensions down the road. And we have the incentives wrong. Government should be limited, and people mm-hmm. should be out in the private sector creating and innovating and building. And we've gotten that a little backwards now. And so when you mention this, as you say, caring for people, not profits, within that term, there's this whole idea that if you want to make a profit, you're evil. But yet I've learned in the bureaucracies, people are getting very healthy salaries, and they are making that quote-unquote profit for themselves. Do you want to bite that off at all?
Right. Well, self-interest is part of being a human being. We have to take care of ourselves, and we want to take care of our loved ones and contribute to society and so on. So you're not going to make people less selfish or less greedy simply by putting them in civil government. You're not going to take away human fallibility or human selfishness simply by giving it over to the state. In fact, one of the great aspects of a free market is that even if people have greedy motivations, they can still serve the public good. There's a wonderful quote from Adam Smith in The Wealth of Nations. It's really well known. Let me read it quickly. He says, "It is not from the benevolence of the butcher, the brewer, or the baker that we expect our dinner, but from their regard to their own self-interest. We address ourselves not to their humanity, but to their self-love, and never talk to them of our own necessities, but of their advantages." So let's say there's some greedy millionaire out there, and he says, "I don't care about anybody, I just want to make a profit." But to make a profit, he has to provide goods and services to the larger community. And for this to be successful, he's got to provide a product that is marketable, that people want. So this is one of the ingenious things about giving things to the market, is that even if people have bad intentions, this can still serve the public good. Whereas if you make everything under the control of the state, then the state's accountable to the voters, in a sense, and the state's accountable to the federal constitution, the state constitution. But often, this is freed from the profit motive, so there can be these systemic lack of efficiency, systemic inefficiencies, I guess I want to say. Mm-hmm. So you're saying driving down the road and seeing these RTD cars just completely empty, going up and down next to the road. And we were saying during the break that if that was privately owned, it probably would stop the service entirely or else lower the fares or something. Because you have to make a profit. You have to make this thing work. Now, some services should definitely be through the state, like the police and so on, the fire department. But other things are better left to individuals and businesses. Obviously, they can go wrong. They can cut corners. They can be unethical, but they need to be held accountable to the law in that case.
Well, and to your point, there are a limited amount of things that government should do, and they should stay in that lane. And we've let that get way out of the lane on that. But I remember I was with a bunch of friends, and we went over to this restaurant for lunch. And it didn't feel clean to me. It was not a great experience. And I left, and it's like, I'm never going to go back to that place. And they were out of business. And it wasn't because of licensing that they were out of business. It's because I think that their product was subpar and people quit going there. And so people, organically, we can make these markets work. And when somebody does a job well, and a lot of people like that product or that service, and when a lot of people purchase that, that person becomes wealthy. I never begrudge that. I think good for them. If they can do it in America, I can do it.
Right. And I think we need to beware of the sin of envy. There are certain political programs that are pretty much based on envy. That is, well, we have a lot of very wealthy people, or, you know, the idea of the 1%. And so we should begrudge them that they're so wealthy when other people are poor. And you have to walk that back a little bit and say, well, wait a minute. How did people make this money? Now, if they've broken the law, that's one thing. Perhaps in some cases we need antitrust law to deal with things. That's a complicated issue. But simply because Bill Gates is a multi-billionaire doesn't mean that he's defrauded or stolen anything from anybody in any way. Now, I'm not a big Bill Gates fan, but he has provided tremendous products and services to people. And has been concerned about philanthropic enterprises as well. So it's not true that if A is wealthy, it's because he's made B poor, or that poverty is the result of wealthy people exploiting poor people. That may be true. That was true often in biblical times when you didn't have a kind of a free market situation that we have. So there's lots in the prophets against the rich exploiting the poor, and you see in the book of James also. It still happens today, certainly. But it's not intrinsic in a free market situation that one person's wealth comes at the expense of another person's well-being. If you have a free and fair exchange of goods and services, some people will excel financially in terms of wealth, some people won't. But if there's no defrauding, no stealing, no breaking the law, then you're not breaking laws with respect to fair advertising, you're not endangering the public through your product, then fine. We really shouldn't be envious of people that are far more successful than we are, as long as they're not lawbreakers.
Totally agree with you on that. I would highly recommend people go to your website. It's Douglas Grotius. That's GROOTHUIS.com. DouglasGrotius.com. And check out your op-eds. There's another one in there that I would like to talk about. Maybe we can do that next month. But this particular piece, Give Profits a Chance, is very good, particularly as we're coming into Labor Day, to just think about this great American idea and capitalism. We've got just a minute left, Dr. Grotius. What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I think we need to think more carefully about what a free market is and the benefits of a free market. And we also need to be more suspicious of thinking that giving services over to third parties, particularly the state, is going to improve things. Thomas Sowell says that all the time. Well, I think that third parties that don't have a self-interest in the matter are going to do better than private individuals entering into business relationships.
Right.
So let's try to parse that out. What should be left for private initiative and the property, private property and the profit motive, and what is better given to the state? And as you said, the state in American society is swollen way out of proportion. It's like we have a case of statist elephantitis here, so we need to get things back under control.
Well, that is for sure. Dr. Grotius, I so appreciate the conversation. It is important that we continue to have these important conversations, so thank you so much.
Okay. I look forward to that. Thank you.
And our quote for today is from Ronald Reagan. He said, "America is too great for small dreams." So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.